Would you please open your Bible to Revelation? It's good to see our organist, pianist, and all the other East that she is back. You were missed. Oh, did I say something? Okay, we are in Revelation chapter 4. We have said that Revelation 4 and 5, am I good? All right. That those two chapters speak of the heavenly throne room. And it is no more a room than it is a throne. Those are symbolic pictures and terms. It is no more room than it is a piece of furniture, than the throne is a piece of furniture. So the place described is heaven itself. That's the Lord's throne. And the scene is the perpetual glory of God and the glorification of the Son. And so far, we have been studying the seven verses. I said six in the past, but it's really seven first verses of this symbolic heavenly throne room. And in these seven verses, John describes what he saw as he was transported in vision to that heavenly throne room. And we have labeled Revelation 4, verses 1 to 7, introduction to the heavenly throne room. And everything it describes in regard to its connection to what piece of furniture? To the throne. And so far we have seen subject matters pertaining to this introduction to the heavenly throne room. We've seen five so far. We saw the invitation to the gallery of the throne room in verses 1 and first part of verse 2. That's where John is invited to ascend to a spot where he can observe what is going on in the heavenly throne room. And number 2, we saw the throne set in the throne room. That's the second part of verse 2. When John arrived, the throne was already there. And the throne room had been in continuous session. It didn't start with John's arrival. And everything is centered upon the throne in the throne room. Heaven itself, says both the Old and the New Testament, is God's throne. In verse 3, in second part of the last part of verse 2 to the first part of verse 3, we saw what happened, who is on the throne, which is set in heaven. On the throne is both the throne sitting one and the throne standing lamb. And in the second part of verse 3, we saw what is closely around the throne. And that is on a vertical direction. And that's the rainbow that is around the throne. And we said that it was a remembrance of God's faithfulness from what he had promised not to destroy the earth with a flood. So it's a representative of his holy character of faithfulness. And last Wednesday, we saw verse 4. And I think we saw both number 4 and number 5 last Sunday. Or is it only number 1? Okay, that one was a heavy one. Verse 4, where it says, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And we believe these 24 elders represent the 24 classes of priests that served the temple. And their services culminated to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that is why the focus of those 24 elders And you'll see in verse 6 of chapter 5, they saw a lamb as if it were slain, and in the midst of whom was that lamb? In the midst of the 24 elders. So they were the ones doing the sacrifices until the coming of Christ. Now today we will study two of the four remaining descriptive features of the throne room. We'll be talking about what is from the throne in verse 5, first part of verse 5, and what comes before the throne in the second part of verse 5. John will still present each of these two and all of them in relation or in connection with to the throne. So let us pinpoint again the parts of the passage introducing the various entities according to their connection to the throne. So the first part, verses 1 and 2, as we mentioned earlier, when he says, come up here and I will show you. So John is invited to be in the gallery. So, and when he came, the first thing that he saw was the throne. So his presence was still connected with that throne. Number 2, verse 2 said, behold, a throne set in heaven. So we talk about the throne room. So that is still in relation to the throne. The third aspect was where he says, and one sat on the throne. So that's the throne sitting one. The fourth one is around the throne. That's the rainbow. The fifth one is, again, around the throne, but this time it is at an horizontal circular manner. They were sitting around the throne. Those are the 24 throne-sitting elders. The sixth one is what one of the two will see tonight in the first part of verse 5. It says, from the throne. So those are the lightning, thunders, and voices that came from the throne. And the seventh one, the second part of verse 5, talks about before the throne, that is in front of the throne, seven lamps. And number 8 is again before the throne, so that would be at the lower level in front of the throne. It says that there was a sea of glass. We'll see that next Wednesday. And number 9 in verse 6, all the way to verse 7, it says, in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four creatures. So everything is in relation to the throne. So we have studied John's trip to the throne room. We have studied the one sitting on the throne. We have studied the rainbow around the throne. We have studied the 24 throne-sitting elders around the throne. And now let us look at the other entities from the throne and before the throne. And the first one is in verse 5. Where John talks to us about something he saw from the throne set in heaven. The first part of verse 5 says this, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Remember that there was no waste of information. Whatever John saw had some significance to it. And we will see that this one does. Now, if you were to read the phrase that I have just read to you, you were to read it in Greek, the verb translated in my New King James Version in the past tense, where it says proceeded, in the Greek, it is actually in the present sense, proceed. So what we are reading is, and from the throne proceed, or are proceeding, continuously, lightnings, thunderings, and voices. So John changed from past tense to present tense, that is, from the past to the present indicative, if you are a grammar hawk. He did that to emphasize that this proceeding from the throne, whatever is proceeding from the throne, is a continuous phenomenon unrelated to the fact that John is there. So whatever the lightnings, the thunderings, and the voices mean, they were not eventful. They are perpetual. They are continuous. But what are they? In this list, we have two atmospheric references, the flashes of lightning and the peals of thunder. And we also have one person-like reference, what is translated by voices, or preferably rumblings. And I said before, in these visions, the Lord uses extensively images from the Old Testament. In Revelation, we do not have any direct quotations of the Old Testament. You will not find any expressions such as this one, as it is written. You will not find expressions like Isaiah said, or it is written in the Psalms. No, you don't find those. But there are over 400 allusions to of the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. So you see there are 22 chapters. You see how many you can find in average per chapter. And it's almost every verse. So the Old Testament phenomenon to which the Lord is clearly alluding when the Lord showed lightnings and thunderings and voices proceeding from the throne, what is he alluding to in the Old Testament? It is Jehovah's appearance on Mount Sinai for the solemn declaration of the law. I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 19. And this is what we read, beginning with verse 16. It says this, "Then it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were," here are two of the three words, "thunderings and lightnings, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound," that's one of the words for voices, "and the sound of the trumpet, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain." Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and this is your word, voice, and God answered him by voice. So all three words, thunderings and lightnings and voice, except it's singular here in Exodus, they are the same as you have in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Now, the three elements proceeding from the throne in Revelations 4, 5a are mentioned in Exodus 19, 16, 19, when God, what was the circumstance? When God gave his law to his people. And we remember that the event was so overwhelming in Exodus that the people reacted. They said that they could not bear it. They requested that Moses, instead of God, spoke to them directly. In Isaiah chapter 6, when that throne was high and lifted up, it contains the element of fire when Isaiah saw the throne that was raised up and exceedingly high. So these cosmic elements that proceed from the throne are always associated with theophany. That means the appearance of God. And it is in the context of, every time when you see them, appearance of God, but also in the context of God laying the law. Revelation contains four such lists of atmospheric phenomena. The lists vary a little, but those words, thunderings and lightning and voices, occur in pretty much all four lists. The first list is what we have here, chapter 4, verse 5, where we have thunderings, lightnings, and voices. The second one is in chapter 8, verse 5. If you look at this, this passage refers to the seventh seal. There you have noises, and the word noises, that's the same word that's translated by voices in Revelation 4, 5. You have noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The third occurrence of a list is in chapter 11, verse 19. It occurs in the context of the seventh trumpet. And in that list, you have lightnings, noises, which is the same word translated for voices, thunderings, and earthquake, and a great hail. The fourth one occurs in chapter 16, verse 18, and this one is related to the seventh bowl, the sixth bowl, because the seventh bowl will be the final things and the appearance of the Son of God. And on that list, you have noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. So all four references in Revelation conform to Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 to 19, in the context of God's powerful and sovereign authority in dictating the law or in laying down the law. So in Revelation chapter 4, 5, it behooves us to say a bit more about the word translated by voices, especially that my New King James translated by noises and it translated by voices. Same Greek word. So the word that the New King James, the translation translated by voices in chapter 4 and 5, is translated by noises in the last three passages in Revelation where you have those list of cosmetic phenomena. So the question to ask is, where these voices or noises, were they from nature? Or were they for some kind of verbal noise from an intelligent being, but that human beings could not understand? The Greek word is phone. That's where you get your word phone, telephone, okay? Tele sound. It's a sound that goes through tele, okay? To the end. It is the one word that is generally translated by voice, is translated by sound, is translated by noise, is translated even by rumbling. You know when someone is rumbling something and you don't know what they're talking about, okay? So for example, your wife is not here. Phone, as you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, you look at that thing, the word occurs for both nature and a person. He says that the voice that spoke to him was a voice like a trumpet. So it was the voice from a person, phone from a person, and it was like the sound of a trumpet, which is also the same word phone, both for people and for an inanimate object that gave a sound. If you look a little bit back further in verse 15 of Revelation 1, you have the same word used for both person and inanimate object. His voice was like the sound of many waters. Same word. His phone was like the phone of many waters. Both a person and inanimate objects. So what we have here, it is clear that the phone sounded more like a, when we're looking at chapter 4, verse 5, it seems that phone or noise or voice, whichever one of the two it is, and we're going to try to see which one it is, it sounded more like a groaning. That's what many translations put it as, rumbling. It sounded more like a groaning similar to a thunder rather than like an intelligent human voice. It was something uttered, but that people said, man, that sounds like a human being or a being talking, but it is saying something that doesn't sound like human language. I hear a rumbling. It's like in other places in the Old Testament, they call it a groaning. And this is true of all the four lists in Revelation, where you have that word in chapter 4, verse 5, chapter 8, verse 5, chapter 11, verse 19, chapter 16, verse 8, where the atmospheric phenomena are associated with the word phone, translated by voice in chapter 4, but noises in the other chapters. So though the word groanings, remember that the Spirit helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered, okay? That word groaning is different from the word phone. It's not the same word. But even though they are different, the concept actually is the same. It is something that we think comes from human beings, but it doesn't sound like the languages that human beings speak. So So what you have, it was a human-like sound, but not intelligible to John. In fact, Paul had a similar vision. When in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he says he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words. That's a contradiction. Inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Inexpressible qualifies something that cannot be expressed with words. He heard words that cannot be expressed with words. So what is he saying? Paul heard what was recognizable as communication, language coming from an intelligent being, but that rumbling was of a nature that is beyond the comprehension of human beings. In fact, it is even beyond what a human being can mimic. It is the kind of communication I hear. For him, it sounded like groanings. And what John heard himself, what he heard sounding like rumblings. It seems to come from an intelligent being, but we cannot put what is happening into human words. Taking our clue from Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 to 19. These flashes of lightning, these peals of thunder, these sounds of rumblings, they are there to represent the sovereign and glorious rule of God. From the throne proceeds continually, never stop, continually the sovereign law to which everything in existence must conform unto. In all four lists of such phenomena in Revelation, in all of them, it is in the context of judgment. Judgment occurs according to the sovereign, powerful, irresistible, and just rule of God. That what those lightnings and peals and voices are telling you, it is telling you the buck stops here. It begins here and it stops here. What a throne! It is a throne that cannot be equaled. It is a throne that cannot be duplicated. It is a throne that cannot be surpassed. It is a throne that cannot be ignored with impunity. It is a throne that cannot be irrelevant. From it proceeds the law. Now let us consider the seventh entity mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 7 in connection with the throne. That's the one that is in the second part of verse 5. And it says there, it talks about before the throne. It says, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So before the throne are seven lamps of fire, meaning seven lamps that are blazing with a fire that can even blind you out. It's blazing. And these seven lamps are said to represent the seven spirits of God. Now, just like the atmospheric and seismic phenomena in chapter 4, in the first part of the verse, these seven lamps were perpetual, continually blazing before the throne. The throne has never been without these seven lamps blazing. Everything that proceeds from the throne has to pass through the blazing lights of the seven lamps first. Now, a spirit is not visible. That's what Christ told Thomas. Put your hand here. You know, you can touch me and see me, because if it were a spirit, you could not be touching it. You could not see it. So if the Spirit, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit, since it's not visible, how do you know it's there? It's like the wind. You feel its effect. You gauge its movement from the effects of its movement. But you cannot predict its exact path. When it will slow down, when it will speed up, where it will reverse course or turn on a dime. The only way that John could identify the seven spirits of God was by the symbols here, lamp. And in chapter 5, verse 6, it says seven eyes still identify as the seven spirits of God. Those are symbols of activity. Lamps that's blazing, eyes that sees everything. You know the presence of the Holy Spirit by the effect of its activity. So, his activity. So, some scholars interpret these seven spirits as angels. Wrong. Okay. First, John uses more than one symbol that he identifies as the seven spirits of God. And here in Revelation 4:5, he uses the symbol of lamps. He says the seven lamps represent the seven spirits of God. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, he uses the symbol of eyes. And he wrote this: in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. It is the lamb, you mark this, it is the lamb who has the seven eyes. The lamb has the seven spirits without measure. And these seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. The word seven, so it would be, if you look at it, the lamb has them all. It would be a stretch to apply these symbols to angels, for one, because the multiple symbols that John uses to refer to the same entity called the seven spirits of God. You will not have those multiple symbols for angels. And what does that mean, that Christ has seven angels? What would that be? And not only that, we have passages in the Old Testament, as usual, where these symbols are used. Those passages do not apply to angels, but they apply to the Holy Spirit. These Old Testament passages from which John drew the imagery, they all point to the Holy Spirit. Let us see three of them in the Old Testament, and after that we'll refer to Revelation to see. Okay? And you are going to see in those passages, you will have the word seven, you have the word lamp, you have the word eyes, not in one passage, but in the three dispersed. So what we have, those passages, the second thing, not only do they use those symbols, the second thing is that all those passages, they are all connected with the Messiah. Just as you have in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. So let's look at those passages, beginning with the first one, Isaiah. It will be on the screen. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. There you have the number 7, and here the interpretation that conservatives give is that they are talking about the sevenfold perfection of the Holy Spirit. The word seven is not for multiplication. It's more for perfection. I put the numbers on the screen of the seven qualifications of the Spirit of the Lord. It's one Spirit, but seven times, seven, the Spirit of. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Who is that? The Messiah. Second appellative for the Messiah. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. What is going to mark him as being so special? He will have the Spirit. Look at this, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, called the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, number 5. Number 6, the Spirit of knowledge. And number 7, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's not seven spirits. Even you have seven qualifications for that one Spirit. And since then, that passage, the Jews very often refer to the seven spirits of God in their literature to refer to that Spirit of the Lord. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9. The verse says this: for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, You remember? The stone that the builders rejected is going to be what? The stone that I've said, behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Who is that stone who can remove, by whom the iniquity of Israel could be removed just in one day? So this was uttered to Zechariah in the vision that is called the vision of the coming branch. Same word as Isaiah 11. And again, the branch is associated with a sevenfold imagery of the Holy Spirit. This image will be repeated in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. That's what they are going to do, the seven eyes, okay? Seven eyes in chapter 5, verse 6. And the verse where, that's where the verse where John saw a lamb as though that lamb had been slain, and the Messiah and a sevenfold imagery of the Holy Spirit will be associated with it. Seven eyes on that lamb. Seven eyes on that stone. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. It says this, and he said to me, and that is the vision of the lampstand and the olive trees. Lampstand with seven candelabra and seven lights blazing on them. That's chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 5 of Revelation. Look at the language. And he said to me, what do you see? I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, and at the right of the bowl, and the other as it at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel. This is what it is, not by might, but by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You don't know what those are? That's my spirit in action. So in verse 2, that lampstand is presented as having seven candelabra and each bearing a lamp to the total of seven lamps. And when Zechariah could not answer the quiz question to identify the lamp, the angel of the Lord, who is the angel who is the Lord, that's the second person of the Trinity speaking about himself. And he says, this is the Holy Spirit in action. And this picture of the seven lamps is what we repeated in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. So having seen the Old Testament passages from which the allusions are drawn, let us see a couple passages in Revelation itself as well to complete the study. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. This is what we read. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits from who are before his throne. Here they did not put any imagery. This is the greeting of the Trinity. And all three persons of the Trinity, we can identify the first person, Christ. We can identify God the Father. And who is that third that is called the seven spirits? The Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, and I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, and that lamb had seven horns, and it had seven eyes, and those eyes are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Here it is said that the seven spirits are into all the earth. It is obvious that both the location before the throne and the location into all the earth are not referring to the location or placement where the Holy Spirit is confined. Wherever it is in a location, it's because he's conducting an activity there. And what is he doing before the throne. Being before the throne rather than on the throne with the throne sitting one and the throne standing lamb, that refers to his activity regarding all the proceedings that not all the proceedings that come from the throne. Not an inferior position. Without the Holy Spirit, God has, I'm not saying this in the sacrilegious way, without the Holy Spirit, God has no eyes. Without the Holy Spirit, God has no lamp. The Holy Spirit is integral to the Trinity. Without the Lamb, God has no salvation to offer to us. Without God the Father, there is no initiative for salvation to human beings. So with these two references regarding the throne, the cosmic phenomena and the Holy Spirit, John impresses us more with the centrality of the throne. Everything proceeds perpetually from the throne according to God's law. The buck starts here, the buck stops there. God's rule, God's will. There is nothing that moves on the earth, under the earth, or in heaven without the throne saying so. And there is nothing that proceeds from the throne without the Holy Spirit making it happen. And everything that proceeds from the throne is executed by virtue of the Holy Spirit, who is the seventh Spirit of God. Amen? What a throne! What a throne! And vision, you are talking about judgment in the world. Nothing is forgotten. The law of God continually proceeds from the throne. And when someone thinks that somehow you can live this life, you can find a way to even get to heaven or do whatever without the rule of God, you are deceived. And when someone thinks that you can go and transform yourself from flesh into spirit without the Holy Spirit of God, you are a fool. There is no such activity that can occur without the seven spirits of God. There is nothing that comes from this throne that doesn't pass through the Holy Spirit. It's blazing, blazing, blazing. And it's all associated with the second person of the Trinity. Whether you call it stone, whether you call it branch, whether you call it eyes, whether you call it lamp, it's still with the Messiah. The salvation we have in it. Isn't it an amazing thing? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study that if we dig in Scripture, we will discover that Scripture continually says the same truth. May say it directly, may say it with imagery, may say it in one way or another, it is still the same. Oh, thank you for the law of God. Thank you for the rule of God. Thank you for the will of God. Coming as thunderings and lightnings and voices. And it is only the Holy Spirit that can help us understand what heaven is saying. That's why the Holy Spirit puts Scripture before us. He inspired Scripture. All Scripture is Holy Spirit breathed. It is the Holy Spirit who gave a body to the second person of the Trinity. Oh, thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He seals us. He calls us to service. He effects sanctification. He applies the sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Nothing proceeds from the throne without passing through the Holy Spirit of God. Magnify your name, that we indeed would be people who are spirit-filled, spirit-controlled, and our church will show evidence thereof. For we love you and magnify your name in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.